Jason.
Hey, what's up, my guy?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Good. Good. Just getting ready to talk about Dynamite, but you had some big news coming off of this week.
Yeah, there are quite a big news with contracts in AEW. Miro re-signed a long-term deal. He's been out nursing an injury. And he also just got done shooting a new show for CBS called East New York. And I don't know if that was just a pilot, a one-time deal. We'll find out more about that to come up. Jim Ross re-signed for a year and a half. At the end of his deal, it'll be 50 years in the business for good old JR. John Moxley re-signed, terms not disclosed. After Cody left, Jericho re-signed. And then a health update on Kenny Omega. They're saying he's not going to be back anytime soon. So I was hoping to see him back for Forbidden Door, but it looks like it's going to be a while for him. And then one last thing, the Ric Flair final match is getting more rumors every day. But Ricky Steamboat turned down and offered to fight Flair. The next rumor opponent is supposed to be Hulk Hogan. So don't know if that's going to happen or not. But tickets go on sale this Friday.
Dude, oh man, a Flair versus Hogan match, huh?
Well, what they're saying is supposed to be like Flair and FTR. That's if Tony Khan gives approval, versus Hogan and the Rock and Roll Express. Not quoted yet.
Okay.
That's the rumor. That way they're not in the ring the whole time. And, you know, six-man tag, they can work in and out. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's some good news coming up.
I don't know if you wanted to talk about the Sasha and Naomi thing, since this is really an AEW podcast, but...
Sure, because it might pertain to AEW. You never know.
That is true. What I'm hearing, what's being told, I don't think we went over this last week, did we?
No, not last week we didn't.
Okay, well, what happened was, I guess, Sasha was promised a title match against Charlotte at WrestleMania. And then when WWE found out that they could get Ronda Rousey for the event, they went to Sasha, said, "We'll give you the tag belts. You and Naomi can be tag team champions." And kind of as a, you know, good measure kind of thing. Hey, you're not going to fight for the world title, but you'll fight for the tag team title. She agreed, was not a big fan, especially losing her spot to a part-timer. So when they got into Raw 2 Monday nights ago, they were told that there were going to be a six-pack challenge where Naomi was going to go over on Sasha. And that would have put Naomi versus Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell. And then Sasha was going to fight Ronda, with both losing, and was told that their world tag titles would not probably be defended until July. So this, like I said, Sasha was already upset. I guess they had a meeting with Vince. Everything was supposed to be good. And then apparently they wanted to talk to him again, and they were told they couldn't. They left before the show, is what I'm being told. WWE has suspended them indefinitely. They've taken all their merchandise off WWE shop, so while they're suspended, they can't make any money. They've taken their Facebook pages. Supposedly, they only have 2 months each left in their contract, and they were renegotiating. So people don't know if they're going to freeze the contracts to try to work it out with them too, or just let them run out and then see what happens from there.
Yeah, and from what I've been seeing is they've been really public about this. Been really public about it.
Yeah, and it seems to be going against them. The last time I looked on the YouTube video, and it was a couple days ago, but the YouTube video of Michael Cole telling everybody that they've been stripped and suspended had like 12,000 likes, but like 15,000 dislikes. So people seem to be with Sasha and Naomi and to stand up there for themselves, especially if they don't like the creative. It's their character. They should have some say in the matter, and they feel they don't, and they're trying to stand their ground. So we'll see where this goes.
Definitely. And if they are quote unquote independent contractors, I mean,
yeah, that could be some people wanting to try to challenge that and just be like, hey, you know, we're done. We're going somewhere else. So I don't know if AEW would do something like that and try to get into a legal fight with WWE. Who knows? Maybe Tony Khan would. He has $1 billion too. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
That's true. Well, thanks for the updates on that. We are on episode 34 and like to welcome everybody to Unscripted Violence. Myself, Stagger Lee here, along with Jason. Gonna talk Dynamite that took place in Houston, Texas. Started off right away with the quarterfinal match for the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. We had the ROH TV champ Samoa Joe versus Johnny Elite, is now he's being called. Johnny got a real huge pop, and it was a very good surprise, I think, having him in. I like you said, I wouldn't have guessed it in a million years if that's who it was.
Yeah, I think the crowd, the pop, though, I think everybody was expecting Johnny Gargano. And when his name came up, because the AEW on, I think it's on TNT Twitter or AEW on TBS or something, posted, hey, it's Johnny Gargano, and even tagged him in it. And then they had to hurry up and take it down. But then I think when the fans saw who it was, they still gave him a good reaction. He's over no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, you very might well be right about that, because he used to go by Johnny Wrestling, so Johnny Elite, that kind of, you know.
I think people wanted it more for the, because, I mean, Cole's in the final, another Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano match, because they put on some bangers in NXT.
They did. They had a great feud going for quite some time. This was a really physical match, though, and they did everything to make each other look really great. Johnny went for a 450 splash.
Yeah,
and he landed that kind of weird. He landed it more on his knees than anything.
It was more like a 425 splash.
Yeah,
he missed it. Joe tried to get over in time. When you have high spots like that, sometimes things like that happen.
Yeah, exactly. Elite went for the Starship Pain, and Joe got his knees up for that. Joe got a second win, and he sets up the Muscle Buster again, and he gets the win over Johnny. And then after the match, Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh all come out. They all attack Joe. Singh just looks like a complete fucking goof getting in and out of the ring. Just holds Joe, so Lethal hits him with a pipe into his left shoulder. Out come Rocky Romero and Chuck Taylor with Trent Beretta. And they're armed with chairs, and they help clear out the ring. I'm still not a fan of this feud. It didn't really add anything more to me.
Yeah, this wasn't for me either. I mean, I get last week why they're doing it. They're trying to get an India presence. I get that. The only thing that I'm looking forward to is a Lethal and Joe match, which will be amazing because they're both great. But yeah, and then the Best Friends coming out. I didn't understand why the Best Friends came out. Like, why are they coming out? Like, it was a little confusing. The match was great, but this, yeah, just did not do it for me.
Yeah, the best friends come out, yet they say that Roppongi Vice is back together for good.
Yeah.
So I that was weird. I didn't understand it myself.
I guess they just brought him out so people can see him on TV, since I know we'll get to it later, but they challenged FTR, I guess, just to get on TV. I know why they use Rocky. He's a liaison back and forth between them and New Japan. So I get why they're giving him some time, but I just didn't understand this spot right here.
Yeah, it was weird. Then they show the Owen Hart tournament brackets. So we finally have... At this point, we had Kyle O'Reilly and Rey Fénix going against each other. We got Samoa Joe, who's in the quarterfinals. Jeff Hardy in the quarterfinals against Adam Cole. So that one is what I was most looking forward to during that. Backstage, we had Lexi Nair with Matt and Jeff Hardy and asking Jeff how he feels. And that, you know, now that he's medically cleared to do the match, this is just a setup for the Young Bucks to interfere with the interview. I'm getting tired of this routine where they go to have an interview and it's only to be interrupted by the heel or something. It's getting kind of stale.
Yeah, they do it all the time. Like, the face doesn't even get a chance to talk before the heel comes yeah. in and interrupts, and it's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, why do we even have an interview going on here? Why don't you just have the heel come out on the microphone and say what they want to say?
Yeah, and be done with it.
Yeah.
It's so confusing. I don't know. Like I said, the show started off hot, and then we kind of started dying a little bit.
Yeah, we did. But anyways, they both sarcastically are asking Jeff if he's sure that he's okay. And in steps Matt and says Jeff's just fine, and because he's a Hardy and not a Hardy cosplayer like these two, which I thought was a good line.
I love it. I loved it.
Yeah. And I really popped for that comment. And he warns the Bucks if they interfere, they're going to get their asses whipped by them. It was a great backstage segment after all, and I'm excited for the match. And I'm especially excited for Hardys versus Bucks coming up.
That's going to be amazing. They are going to go all out because, you know, the Hardys are their heroes, their idols. So to have a match on this platform, they're going to try to go out and prove something, I think, at the pay-per-view. And I think this is going to be just one heck of a match.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. It's one, you know, it's one of my top three matches I'm looking forward to in the evening.
Oh, for sure.
Next, we get CM Punk's music hits, and he gets a massive pop. And Punk is wearing a shirt that says "Abortion Rights or Human Rights,"
yes, so he's getting a
little political there. And he sits at commentary. I still can't get this guy's name. It's Tashita.
Tashita? I think it's Kushida.
Oh, Kushida. Kansuki Tashita. I don't know.
Well, yeah. We'll just call him Tashita.
Yeah. But versus Hangman Adam Page. It started off with the fast pace. Page hits a Hurricanrana moonsault off the top rope to the outside, which it was executed just perfectly. The match went into picture-in-picture, and I've discussed this feature. I hate this feature. Whenever I just want them to do away with it. It detracts from the match more than anything.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like it either. Go to a break. Like, what am I paying attention to? Am I paying attention to your sponsors, or am I paying attention to the match? How can I do both?
Exactly. I find it difficult. I even try to intentionally look at the match, and I find it difficult to even get into the match.
Yeah, it's almost where I take a bathroom break or something, or walk away, because I can't. My ADD won't let me watch both at the same time, so I just this is usually my break time.
Yes, yeah, same here. Tashita, he has an amazing offense that he starts landing. He landed a perfect last ride style power bomb onto Paige.
Yes. Yes.
And Paige does the buckshot lariat, then goes for a GTS for the win, trying to get a rise out of Punk. Punk, however, does not get mad about Hangman using the finisher. Instead, he says, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Punk gets on the ramp and faces Paige, and they both raise their arms to see who has the fans behind them. And Punk clearly has the majority, and this seems to irritate Paige. Paige just leaves the stage while fans are chanting CM Punk. I think the fans, as well as myself, were all behind Punk getting the title.
Yeah, I'm the biggest Punk mark there is, so I will openly admit that. A few things I want to say. Punk was great on commentary. He dropped a line. I don't know if you caught it or not, but he said, El Generico, didn't he pass away? And El Generico is Sami Zayn's character when he was in ROH.
Yes.
And then Excalibur said, oh, he retired to the orphanage, and Punk goes, R.I.P., LOL. I lost it. I was cracking up. Punk is so gold. No matter what he does, it's amazing. Kushida was, oh my God, he was amazing. He looked great. I kind of hope he signs with AEW. Like, he looks better than Hangman, I thought.
He's got it all. He's got the look, the speed, the style. His moves were executed perfectly. I mean, you can tell this guy has put in his work.
So, well, supposedly he's over here for a year. So, if so, I hope he stays with AEW, because he signed with DDT in Japan, and you know they have a relationship now. So, I hope he stays. A few things I want to say: the crowd ovation was crazy for Punk, and not as good for Hangman, I thought, in my opinion.
I even heard some booing as far as Hangman was going. So,
and I feel bad for Hangman because it's not really his fault. But like, since he's won the belt, yeah, he had the matches with Danielson. He's had the Texas Death matches, but like, it seems like some Dynamites, if I'm wrong, he's not even there. And like, the main focus isn't the world title, and I don't know why that is or isn't. I understand not wanting to defend it all the time and things like that, but just, he had COVID, and just this whole feud has just been weird. But Punk's been making it work. A couple things I want to say, like, Hangman did a tombstone piledriver, and dude kicked out at two. Don't know if I'm a fan of that. The suplex spot, that was scary looking when they both like no sold the suplexes. It looked like both of them landed on their necks.
Oh yes, yeah, that was a harsh one.
It looked like Hangman rushed to go to sleep a little bit. I wish he would have held it for a few more minutes while looking at, or a few more seconds while looking at Punk, but still over. But I don't understand the ending, like you talked about. Punk comes out, and this isn't his first time wearing a shirt like that in Texas. He wore one the last time they were there that said, when you have one of these and had a picture of uterus, you could tell me what to do. So two times now in Texas, he's wore a political shirt. But why? I know they're both faces, and that's why I hate face versus face. But Punk starts talking and, you know, pointing to the crowd into his ear and whatever. And like you said, it looks like Hangman got mad and like he stormed away. So like,
yeah.
2 weeks ago, we had the promo where he was like going heelish. And then this week he does kind of a heel move and just walk away. Like, are we turning him heel? Is he heel? Is this just him being frustrated? Is it just a swerve? So when Punk turns heel, I'm just totally confused. But I really hope we put the belt on Punk and we kind of hit a reset button and restart Dynamite, as I'll talk about later in some other segments. But like, it just seems like something is missing. And I'll actually talk about that later too with the ratings. I know I don't want to talk a lot about ratings because I hate ratings, but this show started off huge and then dropped like 400,000 people. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but it started out in the like close to the millions, and then I'll tell you where we start to take a dive.
Okay, yeah, let me know, because yeah, I don't usually pay too much attention to the ratings, but they are important.
Well, they're important, but like, I hate ratings talk because this isn't 1998 and everybody's watching cable. There's so many other options like Sling and Netflix and other things like that, but their demo, the key demo, the 18 to 49, started out higher than what Raw got for that week and then dropped tremendously. And like I said, I'll get into that more later. Just a little teaser for everybody.
Okay. Next, we had a promo package on Fuego del Sol with Evil Uno and 10 from Dark Order, and how they're taking on House of Black on Rampage. Not really too excited about that one, honestly.
You know, I'm confused. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but House of Black is so awesome. What are we doing with them? Like, what?
I don't know. Tony Khan has trios belts made up, apparently.
Yes.
They would be perfect to be in a trio situation.
Well, the last media scrum for the last pay-per-view, he said he had the trio belts made up, but he's waiting for Kenny to come back because, of course, they're building. They do the long build, which I love. They're doing the long build between the Undisputed Era and the Elite, the Young Bucks and Kenny, and of course versus Adam Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly. Oh, I forgot to announce. I'll talk about that during his match. But, like, this is one of the reasons what having a big roster is so bad and only having 3 hours of TV. You can't do stuff with everything, but Malakai Black was so hot. And I don't understand what we're doing with the House of Black.
I don't either. It seemed like they were going off in a, like you said, just a real hot direction. And they put him against Fuego del Sol and Dark Order. It doesn't make any sense to me. They deserve a little bit better than that.
They deserve a lot better. And I know the match we're getting at the pay-per-view. I know they're going to be fighting, Phoenix and Pentagon. And I get that. But, like, I don't know. Like, this seemed like it started off so hot. And then he added Brody and he added Buddy. And I was so excited. And it's like, what are we doing? Del Sol, really? Like, they should kill him. Why is this even...
It was just mentioned out of the blue, too, like a few weeks ago. He just started cutting a promo on Del Sol, and I'm like, okay, he's mad at Del Sol for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, why? Why are we mad? We've already killed him a couple times. Why are we still... It lost me, and I was just like... I was so disappointed because I'm such a House of Black fan.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we see an improvement out of it. They squash this and leave it at that. Next, we had a Swerve Strickland with yes. Limitless TK3, and they are against the Workhorsemen, JD Drake and Anthony Henry. The Workhorsemen not being a bad tag team at all, and no strangers to each other either.
Right, so, they're an ROH tag team, and. You know, this is what he should be doing. Tony should be doing more of letting your stars face mid-tier talent and beating them in the fashion that Swerve and Keith Lee did. I love Swerve and Keith Lee, big fans.
Yeah, I think they're a great tag team together. Start off with the JD Drake attempting a chop. Lee hits him back with his double-handed chop. And he just comically took a dive to the mat, which looked great. Dropped Drake to his knees. The Workhorsemen, like I said, they looked really good during this match. Heath holds Henry up facing the turnbuckles where Swerve is on the top rope, and they do a doomsday device-like maneuver. Yes. Where he hits him with double knees and gets the three count for the win. I want to say that Excalibur called this Fall from Glory.
Yes.
Is that what it was called?
That's what I heard. Because isn't Keith Lee's, one of his gimmicks is something to glory or something like that. So.
Yeah. So I guess that's the new finisher for that team. And it looked great.
That was impressive.
Yeah, it just looked stunning. After that, Keith Lee got on the mic and he said that win just put them in the top five ranked tag team for the titles. So Powerhouse, Hobbs, and Ricky Starks come out. Hobbs has a t-shirt that says, "I break backs," which I want. I love it.
Yes.
Starks is dressed like some 1980s yuppie with a pearl necklace, and they get in a couple jabs on him there, but Starks says that they're absolutely insane to think they got a title shot, that it should be him and Powerhouse. Then out come Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy and Christian Cage. Christian says to Ricky he thinks he's ready for a real championship, which I thought was a good jab at the FTW title. Then Christian goes on to say it's going to be a three-way bout between all of these teams at Double or Nothing. Christian also sets up another match, putting Jungle Boy versus Swerve versus Starks on the next Dynamite. And Jungle Boy has an expression on his face like he's shocked and a bit pissed off that Christian's calling these shots.
Yeah, it's setting up. I told you, I hope that we get a heel turn Jungle Boy. I think that would be, oh, They need to do something with his character.
That would be awesome. It would add some dimension to him. He's been a face for so long that I would like to see him change it up and see what he can do as a heel. I think he'd be an excellent heel.
Yeah, I think a TNT title run, break away from Christian, and I know they'll have a feud probably, but break away from Christian, break away from Luchasaurus. I think the line that Swerve said was what? He looked like a bar of soap with a pearl necklace.
Yeah.
That was just amazing. I think Swerve, Keith Lee, Starks, and Hobbs are the future of AEW. All four are just stars. They look great. They looked the part. Just amazing. I don't know how it's going to go.
And Hobbs, it's taken him a little while to get there, but he's finally gotten there. I've always seen it in Hobbs.
Well, you gotta, like, what I compare him to is Mark Henry. Mark Henry first got to the WWE, you know, he was this Olympic star. They gave him that big contract. People didn't like him. It took him a while before finally we got the House of Pain gimmick and he became a world champion. I think Hobbs, I don't think it's going to take him as long because he just has superstar written all over him. He has the look, the build. That's why Punk worked with him so early on when they did the match at Arthur Ashe. Add Jungle Boy, there's 5 superstars in that match. I don't know about Luchasaurus, I get the character, all that, blah, blah, blah. But I think they're going to put on a great 3-way. But I think you're going to see new tag champs. I'm going to say Swerve and Keith Lee. And then Jungle Boy is going to get upset, and we're going to see the heel turn.
I would not mind seeing that in the least bit. That'd be great. Then we have Tony Schiavone. He's backstage with Chris Statlander and Red Velvet, talking about how those two are fighting against each other in the next round of the women's Owen Hart tournament. Jade Cargill comes out and said that Red Velvet needed a real leader for once, and goes to walk off and tells Tony to cut the shit once again, which I crack up at every time because Tony just gets this perplexed look on his face. Like, what's she talking about? So he plays into it well. It's one of my favorite lines. I think all the heels ought to tell Tony the same thing and have that work into some kind of story, making Tony snap and helping him out or something. I don't know. I just think...
I'm down for that. That would be awesome.
That would be perfect because Tony, you know, Tony has been known to speak his mind and whatever, so just one day just snap at Cargill or somebody. And then
have him beat up the lawyer. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Jade Cargill is just money written all over her. And some Chris Statlander news. She came out, she did an interview, and she said she dropped the alien gimmick because she was tired of not being looked at seriously. So I think we're going to see a new serious Chris Statlander, and I'm all for that because she's amazing in the ring. I think we're looking towards, I know she advanced, I think we'll talk about that later on. I think we're going towards her and Jade, which would be a great match.
Incredible. Both are incredible. And I think Statlander's the only one right now that poses a threat to Jade due to her size and her quickness, her strength.
She's amazing. She's amazing. Yes. She's great in the ring. It was just that whole alien gimmick. She's from what? That was just kind of too corny for me. I liked her matches, but I was just like, I don't get the gimmick. But now being straight, a badass, the new hair, everything. I love what she's doing, and I think we're gonna see big things from her.
Definitely, and it appears to me that the best friends are kind of breaking up and going off on their own ways. And I think it couldn't have come at a better time. It got kind of to where the best friends, everybody was becoming one of the best friends.
Well, we've been doing the gimmick for like, what, 3-4 years now? And yes. My thoughts on Orange Cassidy, I'm not a fan. I don't like how it just seems like he doesn't care. Like, I get it, that's the gimmick, but like, how I can't see him in a world title or a TNT title match and actually think he could be the champion. And he's so great when he puts his hands in his pockets and he does the flips and he does the moves and this and that, but like the little, you know, kicks he does and all that. So I would be so down for just breaking this up, blowing it up, and let's let everybody start fresh.
Yeah, that would be fine by me. Then we have next MJF's music hits. Out he comes with Sean Spears. He says, unfortunately, he's no longer in Long Island, but he's in Houston and can't get out Texas because he keeps gagging every time he goes to say Houston, Texas. This was hilarious. And I love MJF. He calls the crowd a bunch of dumb, grotesque, fat hicks, which I'm sorry, but in WWE, he could not get away with that.
Yeah, I think this whole thing's a work with him and his contract. He'll get re-signed. I don't think he's going anywhere. If so, he's going to be watered down and just not be able to do this. He's the greatest heel in pro wrestling. He could be a throwback to any era. And he gets so much heat, there's no way WWE with their, you know, sponsors and being public, and he would be able to do half the stuff he does in AEW.
No, there's not. He then turns his attention to Wardlow, telling him if he attempts to retaliate while he's getting whipped, that there's no match at Double or Nothing, and he'll never get a contract in AEW. So out comes Wardlow. He's shirtless already. He's got the cuffs on. He's being escorted by security. First thing MJF does is spits in Wardlow's face. Which MJF immediately just goes into whipping Wardlow, and Wardlow just smiles. He's no-selling the whips masterfully. It frustrates MJF. MJF just snaps and hits Wardlow with a fury. I didn't count how many times he hit him with the belt. But it was well over 10. And Wardlow still appears not fazed, really pissing MJF off. Spears takes a turn and hits him once to no reaction again, hits him again, and this time Wardlow does wince in some pain, and he says they got one more, which I think that they've already fit in that one more. This is what I didn't understand, but MJF then kicks Wardlow in the nuts and whips him repeatedly, well over the 10 that was agreed upon. And him and Spears choke and beat the hell out of him. MJF hits him with the Dynamite Diamond Ring. And Spears hits a C4. And if this broke the rules, will MJF need to pay for breaching the agreement? That's what I was warning. Is MJF going to have any consequences, or probably not? I don't know where they're going with that.
I don't think he will. This is what makes me love pro wrestling. This segment right here. So good. It was so uncomfortable seeing him get whipped and him not budging at all. Like, just...
He didn't even make an expression. He wasn't even breathing hard. The dude could take the pain.
He no-sold it so well, and then Spears stopping MJF because he's like, no, you're gonna waste all the slaps. Stop. And then him getting a couple, and then that ninth one, the second one that Spears did, you know, kind of brought Wardlow down a little bit. And then MJF, like I said just a minute ago, he is what a pro wrestler should be. Just, oh, you want to beat that. You want to beat him up and hope that the good guy does as well. Go ahead.
You wanted to see Wardlow just go off on him and grab him by his neck and toss him around. I mean, you're wanting to see this happen so bad.
That pop when he gets him at Double or Nothing in a powerbomb is going to be deafening. Like, I saw somebody compare it to kind of like a Goldberg pop from when he put Hogan up for the Buster at the Georgia Dome when the crowd just went crazy. I think it's going to be insane. Like, the
right,
they've been waiting. This is one thing AEW does well when they do it with certain talent. They build a story that is just so good. And MJF can take a loss. It ain't going to bother him at all. He's MJF. You know, he's rich. He's the pretty boy. He can do whatever he wants. It's not going to bother him at all. This was just remarkable. I loved every minute of it.
this is what I need. This was great TV.
Yes, my hat's off to MJF and to Wardlow both. They both are making this work.
And Spears. Epically. And Spears. Don't forget Spears. I mean, hitting that C4 and doing the fake pin and yelling Wardlow whenever he does something. That cage match is going to be pretty amazing, I'm pretty sure, this week.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
I'm going to take pleasure in seeing Sean Spears get the shit beat out of him in that cage.
I'm interested to see how they do this, where Wardlow gets the win. Like, how are they going to, with MJF being the ref, and how is he going to win against all odds and then go on to Double or Nothing? It's going to be some interesting TV, and I cannot wait to see that.
I have faith in my guys. I think they're going to pull it off. I don't know how, but I do want to know how at the same time. Next, we had Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero. They're backstage talking about how Roppongi Vice is back together full time. So right there, they said, we're back together full time. They say that they're going after the ROH World Tag Team titles, as well as the IWGP titles and the AEW tag belts too. And they issue a challenge to FTR for a championship match. So,
I mean, it was an okay segment. I get it. They're building some stuff for Forbidden Door because, you know, they were a tag team in New Japan. So you're going to have some matches because I heard, you know, Forbidden Door is going to be AEW versus New Japan Pro Wrestling. So they're already setting that up. So they'll be in a tag match. Just them going after all the titles, I don't get that. But, you know, hey, whatever.
I just think it's just talk. Hey, we're back. We're back together. We're going to take on the world type talk. But I think it's little more than that. I think realistically, ROH World Tag Team titles, that could be in their future. The IWGP, maybe. I don't know.
I don't see them beating FTR. I don't see them getting the tag titles off FTR. And that's another thing. I wish we had more FTR on this show.
Yeah, definitely. I could have FTR on every show with the way they've been performing and the level they've been performing at.
Well, that's one thing that gets me so frustrated with Dynamite is FTR is so hot right now. Why? I know they were on Rampage, but, like, that's Rampage. Not everybody's watching Rampage. Why are they not on every week? They are so over right now, and they're putting on bangers. I don't care if it's a little segment that was on Rampage and it should have been on Dynamite. You need to have FTR on your main program.
Perhaps they don't want to overkill it. That's my thinking, but they don't want to overkill it with the FTR. They want to give it just enough. Because AEW does have that talent of just giving you just enough of...
But do you lose it a little bit? You know what I mean? Like, not... We don't see that with Punk unless he's filming a TV show. Or we don't see that with MJF or other people. I think you need to have your top stars on. I don't even care. Like I said, it's a one-minute promo or just commentary or something. These guys are huge and they're over and people are going crazy every time they see them. I think we need to see them more. That's just me.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I definitely don't mind seeing more of FTR.
I'm not saying they have to wrestle every week, but they need to be a presence on the show. That's just me. Somehow, some way, there's a way that you could get FTR on the show.
Definitely. Next we had the quarterfinal match for the Owen Hart tournament between Kyle O'Reilly versus Rey Fénix. This was a good match to start between the two. Kyle's working on the injured elbow and arm of Rey's that he injured in that nasty table spot a while ago. Fénix went for a cover. It's countered by Kyle. And it gets turned into an arm bar where Kyle, surprising me, got the win. I thought this was Rey Fénix all the way. And completely wrong about that. And Kyle really showed his place and where he belongs in AEW.
I love this match. They didn't do a high spot lucha match because that's not Kyle's style. They did a Kyle match. One thing I did not say in the news, which I forgot about, and I just remembered when we were talking about it, O'Reilly did an interview, and he signed his contract. When he signed with AEW, he signed for 5 years. Not two, not three, 5 years. So that gives me a feeling that maybe Mox and Jericho's deals are a little bit longer like that, but a five-year deal in wrestling is almost unheard of, and so now you know they're going to push O'Reilly. This was all O'Reilly. He came in and just kicked ass. I thought it was perfect. Every time Phoenix lands on that arm, I cringe. Because like you said, when I saw that spot where he broke it, so now when he lands on it, and oh my God, that's what's great about pro wrestling. That's why I thought this was a great pro wrestling match. I was feeling for Phoenix. I was like, oh my God, they're going to break his arm.
Yeah, when he did that arm bar, he did it in such a way. It looked like it was gonna bend in half again.
But this is Kyle O'Reilly, though. This is who he is. He comes in. He kicks ass. He's not a funny gimmick. That's why they always put it with Adam Cole. They're best friends. I need more of this. I need more. Oh my God, give me a 5-minute match every week with Kyle O'Reilly. Just kicking the hell out of somebody.
It takes me back to NXT.
It takes me back to ROH.
There you go, even further, yeah.
If you've ever seen Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly Part 3 for the title, that is one of the greatest professional wrestling matches I've ever seen in any company ever.
See, and that's the part of ROH that I missed, that I didn't tune in for those times, and I wish I would have, because everybody tells me the same thing. That
if check out YouTube, or I think it's on YouTube, the Kyle O'Reilly Adam Cole number 3 for the ROH title. Is you will be blown away by what you see.
I will look into that, definitely. Next out comes the British Combat, or the, I always want to call them British Combat Club, Blackpool Combat Club, with Santana, Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston. And then the Jericho Appreciation Society comes out. Angelo Parker screams to cut the music and the pyro. I just think, here's my solution to that. If they're going to commit and go completely heel, leave Judas out of it altogether. Choose a different Fozzy song.
Well, I kind of like how they cut it. And
I like how they did it to make a point. But if you're going to go completely heel, just change the song altogether. No more sing-along. Okay, we'll fix it to the where there isn't a sing-along.
I agree. This segment right here, this is where the teaser from earlier comes into effect. This is where the ratings started to dip and dip badly and not be able to come back. I know you're going to talk about the segment here in a minute, but this was way too long. The whole digging at Moxley and those talking about him going to rehab and things like that, and the regal toothbrush and the butt stuff, and that's WWE stuff, and that needs to stay there. I was gonna say,
isn't that the sports entertainment stuff that they're talking about, though?
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but that AEW is the alternative. Like, I get that they're heels because they're portraying sports entertainment, but to have a sports entertainment angle on this show, like doing it this way. This totally killed the show for me right here. Like, and I love JAS, and I love the Blackpool Combat Club, but this was just—it was way too long and just way too WWE for me. Yeah. And I like WWE. I know we differ on that, and I like what some of WWE does. But this—if I want to watch this, I'll watch it on that channel. It's totally different.
No, I agree. I think it was a long, drawn out segment. Jericho really didn't have to go into detail about every single member and get his digs in on each single one of them. And then it was just cheesy when Regal mentioned sticking his toothbrush up his ass, and Garcia kind of kind of cracked me up, though. He was yelling, saying how disgusting it was. Regal's disgusting. And then he's like, well, actually, I did it to you last week, Flower. So I kind of like the way he got that out there, because Regal's still on the mic is good. But from what I saw at first too, I'm like, oh no, we're gonna have another stadium stampede, and I'm glad they cut that off and said no stadium stampede, because I was not really a fan of the first two stadium stampedes. I don't think we need it. What I would like much rather see is a blood and guts.
Yes.
That would be perfect for it.
I disagree. I wanted to see a stadium stampede. I know they couldn't do it where they're at in Las Vegas, but you have Regal and you have Jericho and you have Brian Danielson and you have Eddie Kingston and you have John Moxley and you have all these people out here, and this is the talking segment we get. Like I said, I don't know. I thought there could have been a better way. I was like, what are we doing here? And this is, the ratings were close to 1 million. Top 900,000. The demo was like 0.4445, and this is where it started to drop. This isn't the match that killed it. That's coming up, but
yeah,
it started to drop because people that are turning to AEW don't want to see this. I'm sorry, they don't.
Yeah, and it started to drop also because there was the infighting with Danielson and Moxley shoving each other around, and it just led to a shoving match between the two, and it didn't really have a definite end to the segment. It was like, okay, that's done. And
so much time, and when you have, we'll talk about it later when we get to the main event, but you only give your main event like 9 minutes. This took like 15 minutes, and
yeah,
could accomplished it in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, they could have. I agree with you there. Next, we had Dante Martin and Matt Sydal. They cut a quick promo. It was pretty lame, actually, challenging the BCC to a match on Rampage. Really not. I really don't care about that match whatsoever.
No, same here.
That's the same feeling you got. So then we have our quarterfinal match in the Owen Hart Women's Tournament.
Oh, here we go.
Britt Baker versus Maki Ito. And I was never a fan of hers in the first place. This was the lamest Joker that could be thought of in my idea. And I could think of, there had to be somebody else.
Yeah, this is what killed the rating right here. This is where it went to the toilet. I think it dropped down to like, I think they went from like 1 million almost to like 700,000 or something when this came out. Like, people didn't want to see her. This is all Kenny Omega, and bless his heart.
I'm sorry, I don't get the Japanese humor. They're always over the top and cheesy, and just, it's ridiculous how her phony crying and then stamping on her foot. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
And you're putting her in there with Britt Baker, one of your top stars. Like, what are we doing? Like, I know she's a big pop star in Japan, and that's great. I know the show gets shown on New Japan's premium service in Japan, and that's probably for them. But are we catering to other people, or do you need to cater here in the U.S.? I'm confused. This was just bad. Like, I don't like it. You have Britt Baker, one of the best women pro wrestlers in the world, and you're bringing, I know they had history, they fought before, but seriously, you didn't even need a Joker for this match. You have so many talented women on this roster. We did not need this right here and there. This was all the way bad, and this really hurt the rating that I'll give at the end of the night for this show. It was, this killed me right here.
Yeah, that put a damper on things. After that, we have Tony Schiavone in the ring, and he's talking about Double or Nothing. Serena Deeb comes out. She interrupts. She says she's sick of hearing Tony talk. And that last week, he said Deeb couldn't beat Thunder Rosa at Double or Nothing. She said he's an idiot. And then she calls out Dustin Rhodes out, and she heard what he said, and he's an idiot too, and JR's the only one with any brains. And she talks about all the dues that she's had to pay. She had to get breast implants to please the old perverts back in the old company, and how she even shaved her head, but still got no respect. She asked Dustin why he said she couldn't beat Thunder Rosa. And when Dustin says nothing, she says it's because he doesn't have any balls to answer her. And out comes Thunder Rosa, and she comes out to Deeb, and Dustin holds her back. Thunder Rosa gets distracted, and Serena blindsides her with the belt to the head, knocking Rosa out. Deeb leaves with the belt. This is not one of Deeb's best promos. She's done better in the past, and it was kind of hard for me to watch.
This was horrible. I don't understand anything that happened. Why is the crowd supposed to know what Dustin Rhodes said about her? Like, what? They do these angles sometimes, and it's like, what are we doing? Like, you have Serena Deeb, one of the best wrestlers, men or women, technical wrestlers.
Yeah.
You have Thunder Rosa, who is over everywhere. What was this? I'm so confused. This was so bad. You got to take your digs at the WWE. I get it. And call McMahon and all them a pervert, blah, 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 blah. But it almost was like, are we setting up a fight between Deeb and Dustin Rhodes? What are we doing here? Like, what was this? And Tony didn't even get to talk again. They just take the microphone from his hand and start speaking. Or I think she ran down with a mic or something. Like, I was just this.
We figured out a new thing for AEW. Tony starts to say something, gets interrupted by a heel cutting a promo on the babyface he's interviewing.
And what's the point? It's not working. Like, why do we keep doing this?
I don't know.
I'm so confused. This was so bad. I want to see him wrestle. It didn't make me want to watch it more or watch it less or anything like that. But this, oh my God. This was just, I really wish we would have cut this from the show.
It was very cringe. Very cringe. And I like it better when they have Deeb having a taped segment. She does better in those.
Yeah, I think like if you would have had like a JR sit down interview with her in the back, that would have been great.
That would have been gold. And she comes out so much better in that kind of light. But putting her live in front of the crowd, that's not her strength. And
it lost everybody. It lost the crowd. It lost the TV audience. It just, I know this was filler before we get to the main event, but this just, do something different.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, next we have our main event. It's a semifinal match for the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. Jeff Hardy with Matt Hardy versus Adam Cole. Adam attacks Matt and Jeff from behind. It makes me wonder why Matt didn't go ahead and gang up on Cole since it's before the bell. Yeah, made no sense to me why he would just stand off to the side and look at his partner get the shit kicked out of him. Yeah, you know,
if me and you were walking out of a bar and somebody starts kicking your ass, I'm going to jump in. Like,
yeah,
the bell hasn't rang. What are we? I know they cut Adam Cole's entrance for time because they were running short on time, but like, Matt Hardy just looked back and was like, okay, you're kicking his ass. I'm just going to stand here and watch. What?
Exactly. There was like nothing going on there. They get in the ring and the bell sounds. The match, the crowd, I have to say, was going pretty wild during this match.
Uh-huh.
And Jeff and Cole are starting at a fast pace. But then they cut to the pick and pick again. Can't stand it. Please get rid of it. Jeff goes for a swanton, but misses. And Adam hits the boom and gets the 1-2-3 for the win. Super short match. most of it was in picture in picture. I knew it was going to be the outcome. It just didn't do
favors. What? I'm sorry, I missed it. What did you say? Get rid of?
I said that it just didn't do Jeff any favors. And to get rid of the picture in picture, get rid of that.
Okay. I know what you said there. I agree. Adam, you know how I feel about Adam Cole. Like, I've met Adam Cole. He's a great dude. He autographed an AEW belt for me and my kid. And that's good stuff. He's a great guy. This was to put Adam Cole over, but you have Adam Cole and Jeff Hardy, and you let that Serena Deeb segment go on for so long. You let the Jay Lethal Giant Kali segment go on too long. You let some other things. This should have got like 15, 20 minutes. The crowd was hot. Adam Cole's a star. I don't care what anybody says. Whatever. I don't care what he looks like. The dude is a star. He makes pro wrestling fun. The whole Bebe, the Boom, everything he does. Adam Cole has superstar written all over him. He will be a champion sooner than later.
He has the crowd thoroughly behind him.
He gets booed when he does bad stuff, and he gets cheered when he does good stuff. I mean, I know when me and you talked a couple weeks ago, you're like, he's just a catchphrase. The dude is more than a catchphrase. He is amazing. I love him. He's gonna win this tournament. I don't know if it's gonna be against O'Reilly or Joe, but he's definitely gonna win this tournament. But with entrances, and then you had the thing that happened at the end to only give this match like 7-8 minutes. It did feel a little rushed. The crowd was hot for it, though. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But the right man here won.
But after the match, out came the Young Bucks. Them and Cole attack the Hardys. And then Sting and Darby come out as well. And then we got Red Dragon coming out, outnumbering the faces. And they snapped Sting's leg in the chair for an ending. That still didn't do enough for me at the end of the night. I gave this whole show a chair shot.
How many did you give it?
I gave it 3.
That's where I was at. 3 chair shots. I almost went lower. Baker match.
There was a couple of those matches that I did enjoy, and they ended up saving it. But my wrestler of the night was Wardlow. Wardlow looked amazing in the role that he was giving, and he continues to look amazing.
Mine is Kyle O'Reilly.
Nice.
They finally are just let people do what they do great and focus on that, and this is what you get. A lot of people thought Phoenix was going to win this match, and I thought he was going to win it easily, and Cole just came out and beat the hell out of this guy and does what Kyle O'Reilly does, and that's, you know, he's an ass kicker, and we're going to see big things out of Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, he really shined tonight, and yeah, that's well deserved. I don't know. Should we touch into Rampage a little bit?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, we started off with Rampage. We had Fuego del Sol, Evil Uno, and Ten versus the House of Black. Both teams were actually looking pretty good. It's a pretty solid, but it's nothing much exciting going on in the match.
Yeah, I get why they push the Dark Order. I get it. It's just not for me. I guess getting House of Black on TV, I'll take it rather than not having them.
Dark Order is just a bunch of goofs. That's all Dark Order is to me.
Ever since Brody, rest in peace, left, it's comedy when you don't need comedy. Like, it's like they're trying to put comedy versus dark, and it just doesn't work all the time. And this just, especially since Fuego is just so small, like any one of the three of House of Black should just squash this guy. And it's just like, what are we doing?
It does not excite me. In the end, House of Black destroys them all. Like we thought Brody hits a quick backbreaker bomb on Evil Uno and gets the pin. And after the match, we have Death Triangle's music playing. They're on stage with something covered with a black cloth. And it's this cheesy tombstone that says House of Black, Double or Nothing, showing that Death Triangle and House of Black for a match at Double or Nothing. I'm more excited for this match than the one that they just had.
Yeah, definitely.
That's about all I can say about it, though.
Is this the only way we're gonna get to this match? Like, there could have been some better segments, but at least we're getting it on the pay-per-view. Anytime I can see these six wrestle, I'll take it any day, all day. I didn't like the build up to it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought it was. Penta is coming across kind of cheesy in his dark persona,
and the tombstone, like you said, was just weird and like I don't know. Like we're trying to go dark versus dark, I guess, but like you got to have House of Black win this match. I'm sorry, you have to.
Yeah, I agree, and I going forward, you need them to. At this point. But backstage we have Gun Club with Max Caster. They show a video of Bowens getting hurt. So Billy says, get well to Bowens, and says, get ready, because they're going to have a big scissor party. absolutely lame, I thought.
Oh, really? We disagree here.
I thought that was the cheesiest, just cringy with the scissor party. I get it. I get the joke, but I don't know.
I love it. I love the Gun Club. I love the Ass Boys are great professional wrestlers, great heels. I love the Acclaimed. I want to say get well soon to Anthony Bowens. He just had knee surgery.
So yeah, he'll be back soon. I love the Acclaimed, too. I just don't love them with the Gun Club.
See, this is the kind of comedy I can take in my wrestling. Like Billy Gunn calling him son and doing the scissors. And Max Caster is just amazing. And, you know, getting the rub from Billy Gunn here. Last week they joked that they were going to be wrestling on Darker Elevation. I got all excited.
That was funny, actually.
The rapping and the scissoring and... You know he's going to be something when Punk wants to work with him, because Punk did a match with Caster not too long ago, so Punk sees it as well. Even John Cena was praising him not too long ago on Twitter, that he was so far advanced more than he was when he was doing his rapping gimmick.
Like I said, Caster I'm fine with, just to get rid of the Gun Club. I have...
Really? You see, I like the Gun Club. I like no the use they for have.
I don't know. Something about them just doesn't do it for me.
They remind me of a Young Rockers, and I think they're going to be great.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, they're great pro wrestlers and everything. Just lose Daddy Warbucks.
Well, I think that's where we're going. I think that's where we're going, having Billy Gunn, you know, calling Matt Caster son and him calling him daddy, and eventually they're going to get mad.
And, yeah.
I think this is going to be great. I like... That's one good thing they have with Dark and Elevation. They can do things like this, and like they're only filming it for content. I get it, but to have some storylines like this on there works for me.
Well, I'm glad. Anyway, I mean, it could have been worse, and I maybe am too harsh on them, but I just get rid of Billy, and we might have something.
I don't know. It made me laugh. It made me laugh, and I liked it.
Okay. Well, next we had Sean Spears versus Big Damo.
Yes, Damo, yes.
Damo, is that how you say it?
Yeah, he was in WWE.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I also think I could have the wrong one, but I think this is Nikki Ash's husband. But
Oh, is it?
I think so. Don't quote me. I could have him mixed up with somebody else.
He was hairy enough.
Did you hear the line Jericho said?
Yeah, he said something about him. Look at that sweater he's wearing.
That was great. That was great.
Yeah, that was good. But it was a fairly quick match, mostly one-sided on Spears getting the win over Damo, showing his place as an enforcer type heel with MJF. Sean gets on the mic and he cuts a promo about the upcoming cage match with Wardlow. I'm still not convinced that Spears is even a threat to Wardlow.
Wow, really, really? I disagree on that one because.
Well, simply because I look at his past and he always gets to this part to where he's supposed to seem like the threat and always gets his ass whipped.
That's why I like the MJF character. We've talked about this before in his booking. You got to have that guy before you get to the guy. And on Dynamite, I think they did a good job. And Wardlow did not make a face or a wince or anything until Spears hit him with that ninth shot. And then he winced a little bit. And then, okay, so maybe Spears does have a chance. And then you have Spears hit the C4 on him, do the fake 1-2-3. And then you go to Rampage and he takes another giant. And then he makes short work of him, hits that C4. And then he cuts that promo on him. I thought it was great. I think this is the way you build up to have somebody have a match against Wardlow.
Just to me, Spears doesn't have enough W's in the past to make it convincing to me. If they give him a few more W's, then I'm like, oh, okay, he's a threat. But right now, I don't see him as a threat.
We can agree to disagree. I like the entrance. Yeah. He's had some matches. I know, like, we don't cover it and not a lot of people see it, but he's got some wins on Dark and Elevation and things like that. And so, like, he gets this win here. So you're like, all right, he beat a giant. Maybe he has a shot at Wardlow. MJF's the referee. They're going to be in a cage. All odds are against Wardlow. You know, maybe Spears can pull this off. I think they're doing a great job with it.
Well, that's yet to be seen for me. Like, I'm still not convinced, but I see what you're saying though, and
well, you also had where, like, when Wardlow was still with them, every time Wardlow got a win, Spears would have to come in, hit some chair shots on the person he just beat,
and true,
then brag about how he got the win and for Wardlow and things like that. I think that's where you got to go back to their long term storytelling and look what he was doing. All right, you know, yeah. Maybe Spears does have a chance.
I could see your point of view there. But then we went backstage with the Undisputed Elite. They say Cole versus O'Reilly will be an honor for them to face each other. They hype up the Young Bucks a little bit. Then we go to Owen Hart Women's Tournament Quarterfinal, which is Red Velvet versus Chris Statlander. I was looking forward to this match. Chris Statlander gorilla pressing Red Velvet over her head using one arm. How impressive is she?
Oh, so good. So good. That's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Now that people will look at her more seriously, moves like that will be like, oh, damn, we got to watch her.
Yeah, people forget how strong Statlander is. She is a powerhouse.
Yes.
And she's been one of my favorites from the get-go. It was impressive. Statlander went for the Big Bang Theory. Velvet reversed it into a pin attempt, only to have Chris reverse it back for the win. I wasn't too happy with the finish to this. But after the match, we had Kira Hogan and Red Velvet start attacking Statlander. Then Ruby Soho gets in the ring, and Jade comes in as well, and they triple team on Soho, and Anna Jay runs in, taking Smart Mark's crutch and clearing the ring out of all the baddies. So we might have some triple team action happening in the women's division, which I wouldn't mind seeing.
Well, they announced after this that Jade is going to be taking on Anna Jay for the TBS championship at the pay-per-view.
I don't know how excited I am about Anna Jay in that place.
Yeah, it's a win for Jade and over a decent opponent. You couldn't have Ruby or Stanlander be in that spot because they're in the tournament, so you don't want to give that away. Yeah. So I get what they're doing. It's just giving Jade a match and putting her on pay-per-view so everybody can, see her. So I get what they're doing here.
Definitely. And we had a video package on Hookhausen and Smart Mark and Tony. Yes. It wasn't a very good segment whatsoever, if you ask me. No, it didn't do it for me.
We gotta disagree on this one. I love Hookhausen. I just got an autographed picture of Danhausen in the mail. I was very excited. Oh my god, this was great. This was great. The video package, setting up for the match. They're not rushing Hook too fast, too quick. He's gonna get a win over Tony Nese. I thought it was great. I thought this should have been on Dynamite, I thought.
I like Hookhausen, and I like the idea of it. I just didn't like the way it was presented here.
Oh, I thought it was great. Because, you laughed a little bit. It was kind of cheesy. It was kind of dumb. That's Danhausen. So once more people get to see how Danhausen is, anytime I can get Danhausen and Hook on my TV, sign me up.
I have to. They might need a little more time to grow on me. I don't know what it is. I love Danhausen. And the whole reason why I love him is because of his vlog. And I watch his vlog quite a bit. So I do know a lot of the jokes and everything he throws in there. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought I painted a picture where you had Hook training seriously and Danhausen can't keep up. And, Nese getting ready, working with, Sterling in the ring. And I thought it was a nice little funny segment. They had two on the show. I wish one would have been on Dynamite.
Okay. Well, we'll see as time goes on, though. I am looking forward to the match, though. I really am.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
And in the ring, we have Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, and Dan Lambert. Then Sammy Guevara shows on screen, and he has a sledgehammer and asks if they'll give him and Tay the match they want. Page says no, so Sammy beats the hell out of a belt and makes it fall apart, and Sammy says, like it or not, this match is going to happen. Lame.
It's so lame. I'm so over this. This was dumb. This was dumb, dumb, dumb. I'm so tired of it. The heel versus heel dynamic does not work here. Is Dan Lambert the heel? Are we supposed to be faces for him when he talks about Tay Conti? What?
This is over with. I'm happy with him being a face when he talks about Tay because he's so hilarious.
He is, but then are we supposed to? Is he the heel? But
yeah,
they act like heels, but he's saying face things. It's really confusing. They just need to get the. I'm done with this. We need to move on.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you 100%. But then we got Tony Schiavone backstage. He's with Britt Baker and Tony Storm discussing their match coming up. They do a short promo there. Nothing big about it. Then we go into our main event, which we have Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley versus Dante Martin and Matt Sydal. We get the usual introduction. With Mark Henry allowing both teams to speak and cut their promos on each other. Regal talks about how they break their opponents down in the ring. Dante Martin escapes out of the lapel lock. The crowd chants that this match is awesome. John and Brian hammer on their opponents until they just both tap out for the win out of exhaustion or out of just being beaten down. But it ended up pretty much how I was expecting it to end. Then we have Jericho and Hager attack Brian and John. At the end, or until the show goes off the air. So I have mixed feelings about the ending. I liked the end of the match, but I didn't like how it went off the air.
Yeah, it again, they're pushing this on us, and I didn't like it. I don't know. BBC's over. It was a good match. The ending was kind of crazy, though. It was really newsworthy. Brian Danielson got stuck in between the ramp and the ring for like 10 minutes.
That's right. I was trying to catch it. I didn't hear about it, I think, until after I watched the match, and then I never went back to watch it. But I heard it looked pretty nasty. Now, well, I wonder...
You can kind of see it at the end, but... And then Tony Khan tweeted out a link to watch the rest of the ending, and you can almost tell where it's a work, because Brian Danielson calls one of the referees over. I think he tells him he's okay, because right after he does that, the referee goes to, I think it was Jake Hager or somebody like that, and he started stomping on Danielson's leg. But they showed, like, Moxley was trying to move the ring, some other people were trying to move the ring.
Right.
Dave Meltzer reported it was a work. So, like, that he got stuck, he was fine, and, you know, he wanted people to come over and kind of kick on him and stuff like that. Yeah, the ending was, I didn't like the ending. Like, we already know these two teams are facing each other, so what... I would have been happy with just the Combat Club winning, and that was it.
Yeah, that's all it should have been. Just showcase the Combat Club, show what they're made of, and the rest speaks for itself.
Yes, sir, I agree.
We didn't need Hager and those guys coming out.
No, it was bad. I didn't like the ending.
I'm really hoping that this whole... So far, we've talked about it twice. This whole JAS versus British or Blackpool Combat Club, they're in danger of really fucking it up.
Yeah, I think they're already too fucking it up stage, unless they have a really good match at the pay-per-view, and then hopefully it leads to William Regal yelling blood and guts. But yeah, we're going to see a 10-man tag, and I'm just not that excited about it.
I'm not either. Jericho Appreciation Society, to me, doesn't have the talent in it that I'm liking. I don't think they got a great chemistry. 2.0, from the beginning, I haven't liked 2.0.
Oh, wow.
I like Garcia. He needs to put on a few pounds to make him a bit more believable in my eyes. But
we would disagree there. I like 2.0. I think Garcia, he's a young he's a young guy. He'll get bigger as he goes on or whatever. But I like the JAS. I like what they're trying to do. I just don't need all the whole wizard stuff and the whole
It's Jericho putting more Jericho shit into it, and he needs to stop doing that.
Yeah, Tony Khan needs to be like, "Hey, stop! Like, just wrestle." Because if you look at the two teams side by side, the Blackpool Combat Club and Kingston and Santana Ortiz would kill these guys. So,
yes,
I don't know.
I just hope we don't get another mimosa type match or something like that, you know, or a blood and guts ending, like the last blood and guts ending, to where it was a piece of cardboard spray painted. I mean, that looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't even do the spot if you can't pull it off effectively.
I agree. I totally agree. We agree there.
Yeah. We're agreeing on something. But wow, I'd like to thank everybody for listening this week. It's been an interesting show. I am currently in the middle of watching Maniac. I don't know how you've been done on that, but
I hope to get to watching it this weekend.
Okay, that's awesome. Then I can take my time with it a little bit.
Yes, sir.
It's going good so far, but that should be the next thing that everybody hears from us. I'm encouraging everybody to go into the Facebook group, Unscripted Violence Pro Wrestling Talk. We have t-shirts available now, holding the little fundraiser so that Jason and I can afford all these pay-per-views we have coming at us, and just supporting the channel in general. You can reach me at I'm at StaggerLee777 on Twitter. And Jason, what's your Twitter?
I'm at JayBlun23, JayBlun23. Hit me up on Twitter anytime. I love talking wrestling. And buy our merch. Buy our stuff.
Yes. Yes. It's just a start, but I think we got a pretty good design with it. You can choose your size, your color, whatever. So there's a lot of options in it. And yeah. And if you can support the channel, you can also go into our group. And whenever you hit the link that I put up for the group, there is a link that you hit that says support on there, and you can support however much you want. If you feel like supporting, that'd be a great help. But mostly, you know, giving us the stars and the likes, that's what really matters, and sharing with your friends.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we will be signing off for tonight. Jason, it's been a pleasure once again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And we will be talking GCW next time.
Let's go.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.